Mark Ricciuto and Chris Dittmar are back Monday. In the meantime, filling in, Alana Smith from Channel 7 and Dave Gleason from The Screaming Jets. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, everyone.
We're just having a chat behind the scenes about movies that are quite good. And Glee, so you've just come back from I can't really repeat what you said, but it was an awesome film. Let's put it like that. What did you go and say?
I took the kids to see Spider-Man Homecoming yesterday.
The new one.
The new one. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yep. Michael Keaton's in it. He's an absolute. He's one of the greatest villains I've ever seen in a.
That's a big call. I'm thinking Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Yes, he's up there. funnily enough, I was able to watch the whole movie. Took him at 3:30. Didn't fall asleep.
Jeez.
That was how exciting it was.
I tell you what, you have a good time during the school holidays.
My word, I do. Well, that's one of the.
Movies.
It's one of the perks of being a singer and working at night. And it just so happens that it coincides with the school holidays that I'm off the road with both bands at the moment. So
it's fantastic.
Very good.
Good movies are few and far between. Alana, what's the last decent film you had a look at?
I have a near 2-year-old. I have not been to the movies for a while.
Whoops.
Sorry. Touched a real sore point there.
We've just rubbed it in for the last 2 minutes. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I came in this morning wanting to talk to someone about House of Cards because I watched the most recent episode last night and big things happened. No one watches it here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's quite an intelligent show, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's a political drama, but it's, I don't know, it depends what, you could watch it on a variety of levels.
Mm. It's so, like the West Wing with more murders, isn't it?
Murders, left, right and centre.
Glee, so you should write the little things when you click info on the channel.
Right, yeah.
Like and you get the info on the show. More murders.
Very soon, Hamish Hartlett comes in from Port Adelaide and the biggest three stories this morning, Alana and Glee, so go through them so you don't have to. Triple M's ruined it for breakfast, 7:05, Triple M. They've gone through, trawled the best and most interesting stories from around the world and about to pull them apart. This morning, geez, this name gets a lot of headlines, if you ask me.
Donald Trump, you think?
Donald Trump gets a couple of headline mentions.
Yeah, he certainly does. He is the human headline. I can't remember who the human headline was before Donald Trump. But obviously it's his son, Donald Jr., that's in the news at the moment for his meetings last summer in 2016 leading up to the American election with a Russian lawyer, some chick, his original excuse was that he was trying to reignite the Russia-US adoption scheme that had been popular in the 80s, 90s, etc., and has been suspended. But it came out that possibly there was more to his meeting than just adoption.
He was like, turns out he was just digging up some dirt on Hillary. yes. Trump Jr., Donald Jr., he's pretty much sent the Trump administration into damage control at the moment of an investigation the New York Times did into this. He says he's being transparent. I think he had little choice. he's released the email conversations on Twitter, and we're going to have a listen to some reaction from the U.S.
This was a meeting that, as I said, it was held in the summer of 2016. The lawyer came saying, I have information about the Hillary Clinton campaign. One problem for the Trump team is that this looks an awful lot like collusion with the Russians, or at least attempted collusion with the Russians, the very thing that the president and his aides have insisted never happened in 2016.
Yes. Yeah, see, look, you're allowed to talk to anyone you like, obviously, but then it comes down to donations from outside interests, from overseas governments, etc. Yep. And information, obviously, is king. And obviously, they've tried to get this information on Hillary. Donald Trump Jr. said it's led to nothing. But his story has changed. It's an ever-evolving story, as we hear.
It doesn't stop, does it?
No.
It doesn't stop. We've also got another one of these as well.
This is someone who was very adamant, never had any of these meetings, never had any kind of help or offers of help. This is preposterous. He was making the same argument before. Of course, he's had to evolve his story many times since, and I'm sure we'll evolve it many times in the future.
The evolving story. It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
It's like fake news is an evolving. Yes. Oh, it's just evolving. I'm not changing it. It's ever growing. Like any story that comes out of doing the wrong thing, as you go along, you think to yourself,
constant tinkering.
I can throw a little other fact in there.
All right, so that's what's happening in the White House today. Now, our second of the top three. It's not good news for me because I'm not a coffee drinker.
Me either.
You're not either.
No, I'm caffeine.
What about you,
Hugo?
Oh, I am all over at least three cups already.
Oh, well, you're right. You're going to live a long time.
What's the good news?
Yeah. Drink three cups a day and you're going to live longer.
It says up to three coffees a day reduces the risk of early death. Now, to all you young people out there who are into parkour and hanging by one finger off a crane above a building, don't have three coffees and think you're going to live forever. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. I think it's more to do with what it does for your blood pressure, etc., rather than
the antioxidants,
creating this like force field around you. So
I've got to say, when it comes to coffee, there's so many different blends and roasts and blah, blah, blah. But there's also quality. I mean, say if you stop off at some dodgy middle of nowhere roadhouse, it's not going to be the same as if you were to stop at like a Chibo or something like that. So I'm just thinking, is it just three coffees, period? Or is it just make sure you have the right stuff?
Yeah, like international roast or something like that. I'll just have the 43 bean mix.
43 bean mix, thank you very much. Now, that's really interesting, but they say that about a lot of stuff.
Oh, no.
You know, one or two glasses of wine a day are apparently meant to make you feel better. But if you're goonbag, you're not going to be any healthier at all.
Who can drink
always
two glasses of wine?
Always interesting who launches the studies as well.
Oh,
who funds them.
This is released by the Coffee Bean Association of Australia.
Not really.
But
Interestingly, though, it doesn't matter if it's decaffeinated. So the caffeine plays no part.
Right.
It's blasphemy saying that word.
Yeah, look, I can't have it. I shake like a leaf if I have coffee. I'd sit there like I've got
something
wrong with me.
I've never ever had a cup.
Really?
I just don't like the smell or anything.
I love the smell of it.
But I have had an espresso martini.
Oh, well, there you go. She's made up for herself. Redemption. And big news coming between New South Wales and Queensland Glee, so you'll all be over this. Triple M rocking the State of Origin tonight as well.
I'm all over it.
Who do we go for? We're South Australia. We're like, what are we, Switzerland or Canada? We don't neutral.
Well, Gleeso and I are both from New South Wales, so we go for them.
So that's the Blues?
The Blues,
there you go.
Yes.
Go Blues.
But it's because the Blues won the first game of this series this year very convincingly. Mm. They looked like they were going to win the second game, and Queensland did a Queensland on them and won it in the last 2 minutes. And I thought that was their best chance that they've had in the last few years to actually show some dominance in the State of Origin. So did everyone, because the front page of the Daily Telegraph in Sydney today doesn't say, go hard, boys, bring home the bacon. It says, don't stuff it up. These are the worst words of encouragement you could possibly ever have from anyone. Someone says to me before I go on stage, have a good show, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone says, don't stuff it up, I think. What? Hang on. What?
How could I? And if you're thinking, well, if there was ever an NRL game to watch, State of Origin is it, because you were just talking about the last 2 minutes when the Maroons got up Queensland. This is basically what happened.
Slater to Morgan. Flick pass. Gagai is over.
There it is.
Gagai goes in to score.
Gleeso's shaking his head.
I feel
it's
sick.
16-all. Gagai has scored his seventh Origin try.
Yeah, for me.
It's coming back. 16.
Did you notice?
Has truly been.
Did you notice how Alana tried to cut off that winning
goal? I was just going to say,
for me, the whole thing, the series was blown then. New South Wales absolutely had their chance in that game.
I may be a traitor.
Going up to Suncorp for the decider, you can't see past Queensland.
Absolutely not. I'm actually going to put a bet on Queensland. I can say this now, I'm in South Australia. If I was in New South Wales, I'd be getting hunted down. But I'm going to put money on Queensland by 20+.
So you reckon it's going to be an absolute steamroll. People are calling this NRL State of Origin the most important origin in history. Would you two back that up, both being originally from New South Wales?
Depending on whether New South Wales win or not. Look, I'm happy to lose me money if they can get up, but I'm not holding any hope.
Queensland have won 12 of the 18 origin deciders, so every stat is in their favour.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you do, if you are going to have a punt, gamble responsibly. Hammer Hartlett coming up in the next half hour on Triple M.
G'day, guys.
A bit of a head tilt.
Hello, mate. How are we? All right.
You good, mate? How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. Yep. Good. Yeah, obviously had the game Sunday against West Coast over there and came away with a good win. So it's
very much.
It's a good feeling around the place at the moment. 6 day break before our next game, which is great. The boys, will freshen up throughout the week and then take on North Melbourne this weekend. So
what does a win like that do for the group, especially when there's been so much talk? You can't beat a top eight side. Yeah. People writing you off. I mean, this competition this year, there's no form guide, and it's very hard to read week to week. But that I imagine that must release a bit of pressure.
Yeah. You know what? Any win over in Perth against either of the sides, whether it's Fremantle or West Coast, is a good win. And I think to do it playing the type of footy that we did, particularly in the second half, was really pleasing. There was a few concerns probably going into half time about the way we're going about things. And we obviously started off the game really well, and then we conceded seven goals in a row, and managed to kick a couple just before half time. So that was good, but the way we played in the second half was really pleasing, and you do gain an enormous amount of confidence out of going over to Perth and getting a good win like that, for sure.
Yeah, how was Kenny? Pretty bloody impressive. Even he was pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, he was. We sort of said there's a few of us that have been around a little while, and we said it was one of the most enjoyable wins that we've been a part of, and I think Kenny sort of felt the same way as well. So. He was pretty bloody impressed by a few individual performances, I think, in particular, and he was pretty happy with the way the whole team went about it.
He have to say at three-quarter time when scores are level?
You know what, we'd been in similar situations in games earlier on in the year, and probably haven't run over the top of teams or come away with a result that we would have liked. And so we actually made a bit of a focus of that throughout the week. And it was really just continuing to play your role when you can get a bit fuzzy in the mind, you know, scoreboard's close, there's a lot of pressure on, the crowd's getting a bit louder, those types of things. It's all about sticking to the things that you've done previously throughout the game and making sure you execute them at the right time when you need to. And we felt like as a group that we did that for most of the last quarter, and that got us the result that we got.
Mate, what about Big Charlie up the front? How tough's he now? He's really found his role, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Look, Charlie, you know, before he came to the club, had a lot of issues with his ankles, and even last year a little bit had some problems as well. So for him to be able to get that continuity in his football, we know what he's going to get every time the ball is in his area. Like, he's a big man. He's going to push some people around. He's going to hurt some people. He's going to wind up with a ball at some stage. And I guess the thing that's been troubling Charlie a little bit recently is his finishing, but he kicked five goals one, all from set shots on the weekend. So that was huge for us too.
You said Kenny was particularly happy with some of the standout performances. It wasn't just Charlie Dixon, Robbie Gray, Paddy Ryder, yourself, a 60-metre bomb. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Not that you wouldn't want to relive it, Hammer, but anyway.
Towards the top of his defensive 50, Hartland. Great grab. Terrific grab. He'll be outside 50, though. He'll need to really load it up.
He's got the distance here, Locke. We know he's a thumping kick. He's going to be kicking from 55, but he's got the distance, I reckon.
Little stutter. Then on the boot it goes. And Embers, you've summed it up beautifully. Hamish Hartland, what a kick.
Do you want to hear that again?
That feels good.
It's your ringtone.
it was fantastic. What was really exciting for us is that, you know, all our senior players really played well, which is probably something that we haven't gotten too frequently over the last two or three years in particular. It wasn't just the half a dozen guys that are in the leadership group as such. It was, you know, Paddy and Robbie and Charlie and, lots of the other guys that have got lots of experience too that played well. And generally, if the senior players in any team play well, you usually get a win, so awesome. It's really good.
What about Sam Powell-Pepper? Went off, came back on with the shoulder heavily strapped. How's he pulled up?
Yeah, he's pulled up fine. I think he's got a little small AC joint sort of sprain, but he trained yesterday and he was fine. And usually you can sort of get away with those types of injuries, no worries. So he's an absolute beast. Like the way he came back on after he strapped it up and kept trying to crash in and
he crashes.
Yeah, he just like there was one piece of play where he was just like getting smashed over and then he'd get up and you could see just like the steam coming out of his ears and he was going over trying to tackle another bloke, getting smashed again, getting back up, and this is after he'd hurt his shoulder. So he's just an animal, just loves that physical side of the game, and he'll be fine for this weekend, which is really good for us.
Got more with Hammer Hartlett for Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business next.
All right.
Welcome back, Hammer. Welcome back.
I'll give myself a clap too.
Featuring quite the bruise as well. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago against Richmond, early in the third quarter, I copped a corky in the middle of my left quad, and the bruising is still sort of hanging around. It's been, what does that make it? Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
About 10 days since the injury, and a bit of bruising, probably the full length of the inside of my quad, and also around my kneecap. A little bit as well, so I've been showing it off a bit. The boys are getting sick of it, and I've caught my fair share of flack about it. But while it's still there, I'll keep showing it off. Keep the shorts on.
Speaking of boys showing off, lots of Instagram activity about gaming. What's happening down at the club?
Yeah, one of the boys, Jared Pollock, bought a new little Nintendo console, and it's tiny. It's like the size of probably just bigger than your phone. So it's really portable and compact, and you can play it just as that little screen like that, or you can plug it into the TV, and then it becomes the size of the
Nintendo
TV screen.
Switch.
Right, yeah, okay. Nintendo Switch. So the boys have been getting back into the Mario Kart, and because it's so convenient, like it's probably going to come away with every away trip. So there'll be plenty more where that came from, I reckon. So it's a bit of fun. It's been good.
Awesome. You got North Melbourne this week.
Yep.
Another sellout at home. How's that shaping up for you?
Yeah. Oh, look. Like Alana said earlier on in the show, it's like with the fixture and the way the results have gone this year, you just don't know who's going to play well from week to week. And so you can't really take much notice of where anyone is on the ladder. We'll focus heavily on how we can beat them, what they're capable of doing and what we need to do to be able to get the right results. So Saturday afternoon, hopefully the weather, I'm not sure what the weather's shaping up. Like Hato, you might have a little bit
damp, but okay. Not too bad at the moment.
Beautiful.
A few showers, mid teens.
Yeah, that's right. We've been really lucky actually this year with the weather so far. We've been able to escape any wintry conditions. But they've got some quality players.
Big Benny Brown's
in cracking form. Yeah, so we'll look to stop him as best we can and get a good crowd there and get another win on the board. That'll be the plan. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, big night at Adelaide Oval. Just very interested to get your thoughts quickly on something that's come up out of Victorian junior football. They're going to cap scores now. So I think it's, I haven't got the figures here, but I think it's like if you're in the under 16s, you can't win by more than 80.
I'll just stop scoring.
Yeah. And then it was like 48 points for under 12s or
12s. Yeah, that's right. What do you think of that?
Look, from my point of view, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a really, really successful junior footy club at Edwardstown and played in lots of premierships and played against some teams that weren't so good and had lots of success. So I can sort of see where they're coming from that point of view. But also I think we still need to instill a bit of resilience into our kids as well. And I'm not sure that does much in the way of improving that. So, I don't think I'm really for it, to be honest.
Everyone needs a spanking every now and again.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's week after week that a team's getting smacked by 100 points, it probably doesn't do too much for the kids' confidence. But
I understand it in modified, you know, if they're six or seven, when they're little. By the time they're 16,
harden it up.
That's right.
I mean, you're on percentage, you're 132 at the moment. If imagine that not being able to be achieved.
Oh, no. That'd be disastrous.
So not for it. Hamish Hartlett from Port Adelaide Football Club, in for Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business. Thanks so much for coming and good luck on the weekend.
Good on you guys. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Good to see you.
Triple M's ruined it's for breakfast, 13 past 8. The boys are back on Monday. Gleeso from the Jets, Alana from Channel 7 in. Guys, we've been pretty fortunate this year, especially with two home sides having some big percentage boosters, getting them up into the top four, both at the moment. Mm. When kids play footy, they want to be just like their idols, like they see it training, like they see it at Adelaide Oval, and like they see on the tally. And so for teams like that, that would mean going out there and trying to not just boot as many goals as possible, but thump as many goals through as well.
Yep.
Over in Victoria, something's happened which has literally not just split a state and a code of football, but has split a country in half as to whether or not this is the right thing to do. Alana, you got the story there as well, and this sounds like it's one step too far if you ask me, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what some of our listeners think. I don't know if it's a 50-50 split.
Everyone I've spoken to have said it's fantastic, and other people have said...
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, it really is for
okay.
me.
Okay, I've only heard comments to the negative, particularly from those involved in the game. It seems like all the greats have had their say on it. Commentators of the game, there's a quote here from Brian Taylor saying that scoring builds resilience in kids and that's a good thing for furthering life skills, and plenty more of those kind of sentiments. Mm. I think kids that are 16 can deal with it. Mm. Yeah, but we spoke to Hammer about it earlier, and for younger kids, absolutely appropriate.
Yeah, capping junior footy scores. Well, Gleeso?
I mean, look, it's called the mercy rule. I don't know about that. But it means they're also going to... records of goal scorers and best on-ground performances will also be dumped. I mean, these are... It feels like to me they're penalising the kids who, some of whom will go on to become elite footballers and go on to play in the AFL. Mm. And they're going to start penalising these kids by saying, look, you did score 20 goals, but we're only going to give you 10 of them. It just seems like they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And obviously, in the younger divisions, it's probably a good idea to keep kids interested. But, you know, once you get to 12, 13s and stuff, I'm at this age now, in the time we live in, that's when kids are starting to be looked at or starting to think, oh, geez, you know what, I think I might have a crack at going into the big leagues, whether that be the VFL, the Sandful, the AFL. It just smacks to me of this... of a bunch of whingers saying, oh, my kid keeps getting flogged every weekend, he doesn't want to play footy. Mm. Well, that's when you should be instilling in him the value of team sports and what he's out there for. He's out there to play with his mates, or he or she out there to play with their mates, have a good time and be involved.
Well, as somebody when I was growing up being beaten by absolutely everything, I can say that not once have I ever thought to myself, oh, geez, I wish someone would change the rules. And it's got me thinking on a personal level. You've got this amazing work by the volunteers, the coaching staff, the clubs and everything like that. But playing sport for kids costs a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to be coughing up money for your kids to go and get thumped every weekend? But no one's really saying that. They're putting it all down onto the kids. So I reckon there's a little bit of movement in there as far as, you know, well, we want to make it fun for the kids. We want to make it more appealing to rock up every weekend, the weekend after you got thumped.
Well, one man in support of the idea is former Premier and Hawthorn President Jeff Kennett. He says the system makes sense. Once it's clear that you're going to get flogged, why rub their noses in it? They're out there playing the game, obviously being beaten by a better side. They still go home and say they lost, but you want these kids to come back and know that they may have another chance the following week.
Mm. But what do you say when your team's up? What do you say? Put them to the sword. Put your foot on the throat and go. That's the main aim when you're in front of the elite teams, of the top sport teams. Get in there and kick another one and stop them. And you know, it just kind of flies in the face of what the whole game's about. You want as far as the scoreline is concerned.
Well, not missing their words in the studio. What about you, Adelaide? 133353. Capping junior footy scores. We would love to know your thoughts. Roo and It's for Breakfast. The boys back on Monday. In the meantime, Gleeso from the Screaming Jets and Alana from Channel 7. We're asking on 133353 your thoughts on capping junior footy scores, because that's apparently going to be the case in Victoria for under 16s.
Under 12s to under 16s. And just in the Riddell District Football League, they've introduced this rule in country Victoria.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like anything that's a test, if it works, it'll be rolled out across.
Boo.
Wow. That's Gleeso's thoughts. Alana's the same. Roxanne in Henley Beach, what do you think about capping junior footy scores?
I actually don't agree with it. I coached under nines netball years and years ago and coached alongside of a fantastic guy who did sessions in schools for rugby. And I remember saying to him, oh my goodness, my girls are losing all the time. And he said, stop worrying about it. It's not about winning or losing. It's about teaching them the skills. Give them little achievements. How many times can you get to the goal ring, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. The parents are the ones that are more concerned about the win or loss. Mm. Losing teaches kids a lot of things. Losing and doing things wrong is not bad. It's a good thing. You learn lots. Indeed. So I disagree with it.
No worries, Roxanne. Thanks so much for your call. Chris in Hallett Cove. Chris, what do you reckon about capping junior footy scores?
Well, it's either, really, because the kid's going to know what's going on anyway. And as the lady just said, it's mainly the parents. I remember as a kid growing up, my parents were there. They were watching the game, win, lose. Yeah, everyone's happy. But when I went back to the grandparents' place, the first question was, how did you go? And when I said we won, it was, no. How did you go?
How'd you play?
Were more interested in what I was doing. The grandparents were more interested in how I was playing rather than what the team situation was. So I instilled that into my daughter. We're just out of the junior situation now. She's turned too old to play juniors now, but we instilled to her, I really don't care if you win or lose. I'm there to watch you. You're there to put in 100% effort for you, me, mum, your team, everyone that's there. You're there. You put in the time and effort. Whether you win or lose is totally irrelevant. I really don't care.
Great point, mate. 133353, what do you think about capping junior footy scores? They've started it in Vic, could get rolled out in Victoria, and that may end up happening in SA. Let us know. Triple M. 28 past 8, Triple M's ruined it for breakfast. 133353, myself, Gleeso from the Jets, and Alana from Channel 7. Want to know your thoughts about capping junior footy. It's starting to happen in Victoria between the ages of under 12s and under 16s. Not a hell of a lot of support for it in this studio, though. And we want to know what you think. Now, Nicholas, you were a coach. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what do you think of this mercy rule, as they've called it?
We actually call it the fair play rule. It was brought in the Adelaide Plains Football League probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm. And I was a coach and actually on the committee at the time when it was brought in. And I think it was great. What we actually found is we had the under-14s and under-17s competition. And it actually evened it up. What you'd find from the coach's point of view is you could actually challenge your players more. And instead of them going out there and really getting nothing out of a game, they would actually play for the opposite team and even things up. And it also brought the opposite team players into the game more when better players were on their team. So I'm all for it. And it's fantastic. It develops the kids and basically makes it a better game for everyone.
It's not bad.
That sounds like not capping the scores, but actually just shuffling players around between some of the better players into other sides. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, basically what would happen with the under-14s, as soon as they got to 8 goals up at halftime or more, you could swap players around, and under-17s was the same, but was 12 goals. But often what we'd do before a game to even a game up and make it a better game of football is actually change players before the ball was bounced.
Right.
So if you knew it was going to be an uneven team, like, you know, you just the first round you had an idea who was a good team and who wasn't, you'd actually even up from the start, and it made a much better game of football for everyone.
Did you find it eroded competitive spirit in any way?
Nah. Well, the interesting thing was when you had players from our team going the opposite team, they would probably play better, and their teammates who were, I guess, playing against them then were actually, they'd go up a notch as well. And there was nothing better than sort of probably downing one of your own teammates in a good tackle or something like that. So
that's absolutely true.
Brisbane Lions could take a leap out of it. They'd love that rule, wouldn't they?
John in Hillbank, 133353. Talking about capping junior footy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, g'day guys. How you going?
Good, mate. Thanks.
What is wrong with society these days? The only winners out of this sort of scenario are the cotton farmers, because our kids and all of society are being wrapped in cotton balls.
Yeah.
And when I was young, I learnt a lot from failure. I learnt a lot from success. You have to have that mix.
Yep. You know, look, I reckon you learn more from failure than from success.
Absolutely.
In some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can take away from that and think, well, why did I fail there? And learn something from it.
Yep.
That
Thanks
is
very
a
much.
Really good point. Lindy in South Brighton on 133.53. Capping junior footy, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, g'day. No, I don't think it's a good idea. Again, like a lot of people are saying already, I think we're missing an opportunity then to teach these kids life skills and how do you cope when things don't go your way? Because life's not like that. Things don't go our way. And the adults need to figure out better ways to deal with it and actually instill in our kids some life skills. That's what I think.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 133.53, capping junior footy scores, both Gleeso and Alana. As parents, which side's resonating with you now that we've had a couple of people give their feedback as well?
Well, I tell my kids, you know, just get out there and have a crack. They don't play team sports, obviously, but it's just an opportunity to get out there and have a crack. And if things don't go your way, then things don't go your way. This is life. It's not a This is real life. It's not a read through. I think the great prophet Anthony Kiedis has informed us all.
What about you, Alana?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Gleeso. And at the end of the day, as a guy on Twitter's written into us as well, it's irrelevant. Kids can count. They know.
They know.
They know they've been smashed, right. And it continues to happen. But the numbers just aren't adjusted. They know what's happening. So
yeah.
I mean, your parents getting insane. We only got beat by 4 goals. Today, and you know you got beat by 10. You just think you're old and lying to you. What's going on?
Yeah. Keep the conversation going on Twitter @ @MMAdelaide.